Thank you, Bart. Thank you, worship team. It's awesome as always. And good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Well, as always, I want to start out and I want to say thank you, Pastor Cody, for trusting me and giving me the opportunity to get up here and preach God's word. I don't get to do it too often, but I just want you to know that I really do consider it an honor to be able to get up here. So, thank you, Cody. And church, I want to say thank you to you, too, for taking the time to come and worship with us today. God, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. And it's not a coincidence that you're here today. God has ordained this very moment. And I want to talk to you today about a battle. It's a battle that took place thousands of years ago. And it's a battle that the children of Israel were facing. So what we're going to talk about, historically speaking, is about 2 months after the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And I want to start out by saying that there's something beautiful about the Bible. All right, we understand as Christians, we understand that the Bible is active and alive. We understand that it's not just a collection of stories. These are true events, it details real events that happened thousands of years ago. You know, it's not just a group of stories. Not just a story that you read, like an ordinary book. It's not just a couple of proverbs that teach you some really great ways that you should live. And it's not really, and it's just an instruction manual. A lot of people, you'll hear them say from time to time, B-I-B-L-E stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay, it is that too, but there's so much more to the Bible than that. All right, the scripture's alive. It's active. It's sharp. And I love how we can take an event from the Old Testament that happened thousands of years ago, and the things we read and we learn about it, we can still apply today. I love how we can read about an Old Testament event. We can see the things that happened in this battle, the things that took place in human history, and even though we're thousands of years removed from it, we can take these principles and apply them in our lives, and the living, active Word of God will be alive and at work through and in us. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I've ever been more nervous about a sermon. I don't know if it's not because I'm not prepared. I'm prepared. I've got my notes. Not because it's been a while. It's been over 7 months since I've gotten up here and had the opportunity to speak. But I really want this to land right on your hearts. I want it to land in your life where you're at. I want it to meet you where you're at. And I don't want you to just come in here and hear a couple of good points, which I have 7 of them today. We're going to get through them, though. But I don't want you to just come in here, hear a few good points, and walk out of here unchanged. There's no point in me even getting up here if that happens. So what we're going to read about is the battle. It's a fight that the children of Israel were in, and that's what I titled the message today, The Fight. And I feel like this is a message that we all need to hear, especially during the circumstances that have been going on. Especially if you're feeling tired, especially if you're feeling weary, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling the weight of your circumstances, you're feeling the weight of circumstances of people that God's placed around you. And as I was getting ready to bring this message, I couldn't help but think that there's some of you in this room who are in the fight for your life. You're fighting for some things. You're battling. You're at war with some things. And I just have to trust that the Holy Spirit, that He'll take His word and that He'll stir something in your hearts today. So we're going to read. We're going to read about this battle in Exodus 17. And we're going to begin with verse 8. It says, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose for us some men and go out and fight with Amalek.' Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on each side and the other on the other side, so that his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner." Amen. So this was Israel's first battle. Right? They'd just come across the Red Sea. They'd seen miracles of God's provision in their life. They saw water that was undrinkable and God made it where they could drink it. They saw God provide bread. They saw him provide meat. And this event is just after the story in the Bible where God told Moses to strike the rock and the water will come out. So he does it. And the children of Israel provided for in a miraculous way. So they've got water. They've got food. They've got some pretty good stuff going on for them. They've been miraculously provided for by the hand of God. And I don't know if they got word of the miraculous provision or what, but the Amalekites, they decided to start attacking the children of Israel from the back of their caravan. So according to the Bible and Google, the children of Israel were made up of about 650,000 men of fighting age. So that means that you've got, when you factor in children, women, elderly, it points to about a population of, they say, between 2 and 3 million. I'm figuring probably closer to the 2 million. But so you got 2 million people who are moving across this caravan, and this caravan across the desert, and the Amalekites, they do a sneak attack from behind. Let me tell you about the Amalekites. This was not a fair fight at all. So the Amalekites were a nomadic people that wandered around the desert. That's what they did. That's what they were used to. They were warriors. They were battle-hardened. They were seasoned veterans. They knew exactly how to fight. They knew exactly how to attack. And what they would do is they would raid people. They would loot. And they made their living going around and plundering. They were like basically like desert pirates. So you have these seasoned veterans of war. The Amalekites. The children of Israel were not. Don't forget, they just came out of Egypt about 2 months ago, right? They probably didn't have a very organized army, if any at all. They were a group of former slaves. And here they find themselves being attacked. So you got the Amalekites, who are really great at making war. And you got the children of Israel, who are really great at making bricks. It's what they did for generations. Moses tells Joshua to go pick some men, to go out and fight. But before we really look much deeper into that, I want to show you something that's really interesting. It says in verse 8, it says, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim." So if you're taking notes, my first point, and I told you I have seven. Don't worry. My first point is, rest becomes war. So all this takes place at a place called Rephidim. And if you research it, the word Rephidim in the Hebrew means a place of rest. How ironic is it that at a place of rest, they find war? At a place of rest is where they're being attacked. And as I read that, and as I studied on that, I couldn't help but think of some of you guys are in the same position. Your home is supposed to be a place of rest. Your home is supposed to be a safe place, but it doesn't feel like that. It feels more like a battleground. It feels like you're constantly being attacked. That marriage that God started off as a beautiful partnership feels like the enemy is continually attacking it. That business that God gave you the idea of, it's been a constant battle of back and forth, trying to make it work. And some of you are in the stage of life where you should be stepping into retirement. All those years of hard work, all those years of hard work you envisioned, you should be in a place of rest and relaxation. You should be able to slow that pace a little, but it doesn't feel like that at all. Some of you, your place of rest has become a battleground. It's become a place of war. But I want to encourage you today. If that place of rest has become a place of war, let me remind you that God is still in control. Let me remind you that while the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life, Jesus already fought that battle on the cross, and the victory belongs to us. Regardless of what the situation looks like, you need to be reminded that God is fighting the battles. Verse 9 and 10. So Moses said to Joshua, "Choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on top of the hill. My second point, it's worth fighting for. In this battle, Moses does some important things that we need to notice. He told Joshua to go fight. Now remember, these are former slaves. They're good at making bricks. Their daddy made bricks. Their granddaddy made bricks. Their great-granddaddy made bricks. That's all they've ever really known. And here they're charged with the task of going to war against a group of people who know how to war. Seems unbearable. Moses said to Joshua, "Go choose some people, prepare them to fight." But you know what that means for us? It means that there's some things in life that are worth fighting for. There's some things in your life that are worth fighting for. See, the children of Israel, they were on their way to the promised land. God made them a promise. God made them a destiny. And God had put them in a place and said, "This is where you're going," but the enemy kept on attacking. You ever felt like that before? I just want to remind you today that some things in your life are worth fighting for. Some of those things that God's blessed you with, some of those things that God's called you to, don't lay down and quit when the enemy attacks. Stand up and fight. Husbands and wives, your spouse is worth fighting for. That marriage that God placed you in, the marriage that God blessed you with, it's worth fighting for. Moms and dads, grandparents, your children, your grandchildren, your home, it's worth fighting for. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't settle for the attacks from the enemy. Stand strong. Choose some people. Get in there and fight for it. If God's blessed you with it, if God's called you to it, it's worth fighting for. Now I can imagine Moses being the leader. He probably had some crazy thoughts going on in his mind, just like we do. You know, there's 2 million of us. They're attacking the caravan from the back. Maybe we just shrink in, speed up a little bit, accelerate the pace, tighten up. Maybe we can kind of minimize the damage. And that's how we think sometimes. How do I cut ties? How do I walk away? How do I figure my losses and just get out of it? Don't do that. If God's put it in your life, if God's put it in your heart, if God's attached it to your destiny, it's worth fighting for. Now look at this, my third point. We need to be reminded. Verse 9 says that while Joshua was going down to fight, Moses says, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. Moses took the staff with him. And it seems like something ancillary in the text. It seems like something that's just kind of there. It doesn't really matter, but it actually matters a lot. See, Moses used to be a shepherd. Remember Moses' story? Back when he was around 40 years old, he killed a man. And he fled from Egypt into the desert. And he began to be a shepherd. But then in Exodus chapter 4, God calls Moses to lead and liberate the children of Israel with the staff in hand. And in fact, all throughout chapter 4, I encourage you to go read it. All throughout chapter 4, he tells Moses to go do some different things with that staff. But why is that important? Because you need reminders of God's protection in your toughest battles. Moses' staff was a reminder for him. It was a reminder for him that when he walked around the desert and it was just him and the sheep and God, it was a reminder to him when he cried out in the night and said, God, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I left. This was the staff he carried that he brought correction and protection to the sheep. It was the staff that was a part of him. It was the staff he saw God do miracles through. And some of you are in the fight for your lives right now. You're trying to figure out which way's up. Again, I want to encourage you. Go back and revisit the things that God's done in your life. Go back and read the sermon notes from a past message that meant a lot to you. Go back and listen to past messages that meant something to you. Go back and read the scriptures that comforted you and got you through some of those dark and tough moments of hurt. We need to be reminded of how God provided in our toughest battles. The enemy wants us to forget. He wants us to have spiritual amnesia. All right, we forget how God got us through the valley years and years ago, and then we come to the next valley and we think, God, are you going to take care of me this time? Are you there? And the whole time God's saying, I made the water where you could drink it. I brought water from the rock. I brought bread from heaven. I brought quail from heaven. I closed up the Red Sea and I killed Pharaoh's army. Yes, I'm going to protect you. Yes, I've called you. Yes, I'm leading you. Yes, the enemy attacks, but greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. You need a reminder of God's protection. You need a reminder of God's preparation. The staff was a reminder of what Moses went through in preparation to get there. It was a staff he used as a shepherd. Because he knew what it meant to lead sheep, he could take that and use that to lead people. Can I just remind you that where you've been in your life has everything to do with where you're going? God's preparing you. God's using you, and he's using your past experiences to shape you into the person he wants you to be. Don't quit in the middle of the battle, but in your toughest battle, go back and remind yourself how God protected you and how God provided for you and how God prepared for you. Verse 11. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Point number four. We should have a posture of praise. God provided victory when Moses had the posture of surrender and praise. This is the most famous part of the story. Right? It's the part in Sunday school where they have a competition to see who can hold their hands up the longest. Thought about doing that here today, bringing Cody and Bart and some of these guys up here. And, you know, after about 4 minutes, you're like, oh, yes, yeah. It's the most famous part of the story, but there's so much more than this obvious part of the story. This is the part of the story that gets preached the most. So we're gonna pay it some attention, but that's not gonna be the primary focus here. The victory came when Moses had a posture of surrender and praise, but there's so much more to it than that. Remember, Moses, he wasn't in the middle of the battle. Joshua went down to fight the battle. Moses went up on a hill. And let me tell you what that means for us today. Moses had a different vantage point than Joshua did. And some of you are at the stage of your life where you have a different vantage point than you used to. Some of you, you're at a place right now where your angle's a bit different than it used to be. You're not down swinging the sword anymore. The fight might look a little bit different for you these days. See, Moses was probably close to 80 years old when this was going on. He wasn't really in sword swinging shape. I'm 50, and sometimes I feel like I'm not in sword swinging shape. But he went up on a hill, and it says, when he kept his hands lifted, that's when the children of Israel would prevail. But when his hands started to fall, the Amalekites would prevail. And if you're at a place in your life where it doesn't look like it used to, I want to encourage you. Just because you're not down in the valley fighting, just because you're not down in the valley swinging a sword, it doesn't mean you're not part of the bad battle. If you're at a place in your life right now with advantage points different, you're still involved in the fight. You're still involved in the battle. And don't wait till the battle's over to start praising God. You might be standing on a hill holding up a staff, but be reminded of this. Your praise affects the people around you. You might feel helpless sometimes. You might feel like you don't have control. But I want to remind you that your prayers matter. You may not be able to get in the fight anymore. You can't get involved in all the things that are going on around you anymore. But here's what you can do. You can stand up and praise God. God, I'm trusting you for victory. God, I know that you're bringing the victory. Regardless of what's going on down there, I'm going to keep this posture of praise towards you. I'm going to keep this posture of surrender towards you. Don't wait till the battle's over. Praise God in the middle of the fight. Point five. Record the victory. Verse 14 says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. God told Moses to record the details of the victory. He told him to write it down. But why? Why does that matter? Remember who's in the valley fighting right now? It's Joshua. Joshua, who had no war experience at all, he chose some men who had no war experience at all, and they go down into the battle and they win because God brought the victory. God said to Moses, write it down. Write down what happened here. But why? I'm glad you asked. If you fast forward to the end of the story, when it's time for the children of Israel to actually go into the promised land, Moses isn't there. Book of Joshua chapter 1 says that when they were about to go into the promised land, that Moses is dead. He's not there anymore. But do you know who's leading them into the promised land? It's Joshua. So here we are in this story. We have Joshua. He's in his very first battle. We have Joshua choosing some men. They're going to fight against guys who know how to fight, and they win. And Moses says, write it down. And when it comes time to go into Jericho and Hebron and Gibeon and Canaan and fight those battles, we don't have Moses anymore. Joshua doesn't have that leader to lean on anymore. He doesn't have that voice of truth, that voice of reason in his life anymore. He doesn't have that experience where he can go and say, hey, Moses, what do you think? Moses is dead. But you know what Joshua does have? He has a scroll with a testimony on it. He's got something that he can look back on, that he can feed off of. He's got something that will remind him that God provided the victory for us in a battle where we weren't equipped to fight. One of the most underused parts of our Christian life is our story, our testimony. And if you were here Thursday night, you heard some of those. It was an amazing night. And it just proves that God works in our battles. Cody doesn't like talking about it. He got sick. All right? But God stepped in, worked in you guys through that battle. And we had a great night of testimony. All right, some of you have awesome stories of God's provision and protection and miracles in your life. Write it down. Because there's somebody else out there who's struggling and they don't know what to do. Your scroll, your testimony, your word of faith, your experience, your encouragement, it might be exactly what they need to go forward in their battle. Write it down for future generations. Your victory today has an impact on future battles that other people are going to fight. The things that God's done in your life today, your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, they need to hear about it. God wants to use your story and your testimony as an encouragement. God wants to use your victories. He wants to use your hurts. And he wants to use the things that he did in your life to bless generations coming. God told Moses to write it down. Verse 15, Moses said, build an altar and call the name of it, the Lord is my banner. Point 6, the Lord is our banner. Moses built an altar to the Lord. And here at this altar, Moses remembered what God had done for them. He declared, the Lord is our banner. You know what Moses didn't do? He didn't stand up and go, let me tell you how long I held up my arms. It was pretty phenomenal up there on that hill. I was the man. Kept my arms up, and they won. Nah, there was no badge of honor on his chest. There was no, hey, look what I did. He was reminded that God is the one who brought the victory. And do you know what that teaches us? When you win the battle, remember who really won the battle. I'm going to be point blank with you. Some of you, you're in this position today not because you're smart, not because you're talented or gifted, or you have all the right connections in life. You're here today because the hand of the Lord has blessed you. You're not here today because you had enough wisdom to make a good decision. You're only here because of the grace of God. God in his mercy opened up his hand toward you. He became your banner and he fought your battles. The Lord's the one who's strong in your life. The Lord's the one who's mighty in your life. The Lord's the one that fights the battle for you. I think we forget sometimes that we were former slaves. We forget the things that God saved us from. You create a place of remembrance. You raise the banner up and you declare, the only reason I'm alive, the only reason I'm not addicted, the only reason I'm not dead in a ditch somewhere is because God is my protector and my strength. For my final point, I want to explain something that we all need to know. And this is point 7, my final point. God is good. This battle we're talking about today ended in a clear and decisive and solid victory. But sometimes, the way you see it, your victory may not really feel much like a victory because of the circumstances in your life. Let me encourage you with this. Your victory is in Jesus. Your victory is that you've been saved by grace. Your victory is in the work that Jesus did on the cross. God's love for you, God's care for you, God's protection over you, it's not shown to you by giving you everything that you're hoping for. It's not shown to you by giving you everything you've been praying for. God does love you, and he wants to work in your life. Yes. Yes, he does. Does God love you? Does he give you good gifts? Yes, he does. Does God love you deeply and care for you? Yes. But we can't base our faith in God on human markers. We can't measure God's love by human desires. What happens when the loved one dies? What happens when the cancer takes over and it doesn't go away? What happens when the addiction wins? What happens when you're so paralyzed by fear that you can't continue? Does God not love you anymore? Does he not care about you anymore? Absolutely not. It couldn't be any further from the truth. God's works are real. I've seen them in my own life. And I've seen them in many of your lives. But we can't use human emotions and wants and desires in our health records, in our finances. We can't use those things to measure God's love. God does love you. He does care about you. And he does want to bless you. But he's going to give you the things that are best in his eyes, not in the world's eyes. What we think is best for us, financial well-being, a good job, good health. But what God is going to give you is what he knows is best for you. See, God has 3 answers. Yes, maybe later, and I have something better for you. God's no is not a no. It's a that's not what you need right now. To us, it may feel like a no, but that's not what it is. See, God giving us good things isn't what makes God good. The Bible's very clear that God does give us good things, but that's not why God is good. God's good because he's good. There's no cause to that effect. He's just good. Good is God's nature. God is the standard of good. And that's the part of your fight. Instead of fighting for victory, you need to fight from a place of victory. We have to know and believe that God is good no matter what the circumstances look like. God will fight your battles for you. You have to believe that He can. So here's how I want to close today. I'm going to ask you to stand up in a moment of reverence and with your heads bowed. Some of you are getting attacked from every angle and every side and every way. You may be in the fight of your life. It might be at home. It might be at your business. It might be in your mind. It might be all of those. And you've prayed. You've prayed so much to get out of it. You've prayed. You've asked God for so much. It's time to start praising Him now in advance of the victory. Start thanking God for the victory. Start declaring that the Lord is your banner. Start declaring that the Lord is your source. Start declaring that the Lord is your strength. You weren't equipped to fight this battle, but God is strong, and He's able, and He is mighty. Praise Him in the middle of the battle. Praise Him in the middle of the fight. Don't wait till it's over. I want us to do exactly what Moses did. If you're comfortable with doing it, I want you to lift your hands. Lift your hands just like Moses did. Lift your hands in an act of praise. Lift your hands in an act of worship. Lift them in an act of surrender. Make this place an altar with your hands lifted and start thanking God for what He's done and what He's going to do. God, I'm going to keep my hands lifted. I'm going to worship You. You're the source. You're the strength. And I'm going to look to You to fight this battle. God, I've been walking through this situation for a long time. God, I've been in this battle for a long time. God, I'm getting tired. God, I'm getting weary. God, my arms are getting heavy. God, my arms are starting to fall. The Bible says that Aaron and Hur came alongside Moses and said, "We're going to hold your arms up for you." And I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come alongside you and then bring refreshing and strength to continue to praise Him in the middle of the battle. God, I pray right now for every hand that's lifted in this place today. God, I pray for hearts that are tired, for hearts that are weary, for hearts that are walking through difficulty. God, I pray that You would bring a refreshing. God, I pray that You would bring strength. God, I pray that You would remind us that You are in the battle. God, I pray that You would encourage hearts today. We're praising You now. We're praising You now in advance. God, You're our banner. You're our strength. God, we praise You right now for Your goodness. God, I thank You that we have victory through Jesus. God, I pray that when we walk out of these doors, we walk out with hands lifted high, giving You praise in the middle of the fight. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen.